Thanks, Meg. Well, hi, everybody. I am so pumped about this message. And I know I say that every single time that I teach, but like, I really mean it. So have any of you guys ever eaten at Red Robin? Have you heard of the restaurant Red Robin? So good. Gourmet burgers, bottomless steak fries, ranch dressing, so good. Well, I waitressed there like high school and all the way through college. And in Colorado, the Red Robin that I waitressed at was right next to like the huge movie theater that everybody went to. So on Friday nights, you really had like two kinds of people that would come into Red Robin. You would have your families, you know, that were going to come and have this great night together. And then you had just the hordes of teenagers that would come, and all they would order is the bottomless steak fries for $2 and water and take up your entire section. You know, when you had the families that are going to get like hors d'oeuvres and apps and drinks and stay for a long time. And who do you guys think that I paid more attention to when I was serving them? The families. Why? Yeah, absolutely. The tips, like they had money and I needed it. They had something to give me. The teenagers, I was like, yeah, here's your fries and your water, you know, and they'd give me a nickel. Okay, well, that's similar to the scenario kind of that's going on here in James 2. So will you guys open up your Bibles? After a long day, it is so good to just open it up. Friends, we are going to read to start verses 1 through 4. James 2, 1 through 4 says, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" All right, so James has set up this scenario of saying like, hey, you guys are treating people differently depending on what they can give you. And remember, let me remind you guys, who is the audience that James is writing to? He's writing to Jewish believers, right? So Jewish people that had lived in Jerusalem, and when they were in Jerusalem, they had jobs and probably money and power. They lived next to their family and friends. They had been in Jerusalem, and then they come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that at the time that James writes this letter to them, there was intense persecution of the Christians. And so these Jewish believers were then scattered all over. So they went from being wealthy to now in poverty. Right? They went from probably being like the in crowd and having power to now being like the excluded and the, hey, I don't fit in here, refugees in new cities. Okay? So when James is talking about trials, like he knows that's the in the middle of where his people are right now. And I told you guys week one that James has been said to be a holy punch in the gut. That like James like really gets it in the business, in their business, and that is so true here in chapter 2. He's like, hey believers, hey church, this world we live in is a judgy, discriminating, divided place. But right now, so is the church. And as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we can't be that way. We can't assign value to people based on how they look or act or what they can offer us any longer. Verse 1, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we must not show favoritism. We must not show partiality is the other translation. So what is partiality? Partiality is making a value judgment of someone based on unbiblical criteria. making a value judgment of someone based on unbiblical, worldly criteria. It's preferencing some people over other people. Y'all, I have felt the weight of this lesson more than I have felt the weight of any other lesson I've ever had the privilege of teaching. And so, yes, I could absolutely teach this Bible study tonight on not giving preference to like rich people and celebrities. Like I could say, hey guys, if Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston and Dak Prescott and Jenny Allen and the Kardashians like all came in here, you should treat them like everybody else, right? Because they're just completely normal people that need Jesus just like we do. But as I have dug into this scripture, the Lord has just been beckoning me to dig into the harder, huger topics where we show partiality. And that is racism, classism, and culturalism. Racism is judging someone based on the color of their skin. Classism, judging people based on the money they make, money they have. And culturalism is judging people based on their culture, their lifestyles, or their choices. And as I have dug into what all this really means, you guys, I have never felt so unqualified to be up here teaching you guys tonight. See, I am a blonde white woman that grew up in an upper middle class family in Colorado. I have been the majority in every school that I've ever attended, every city I've ever lived in, and every church that I've ever gone to. Sure, have people made value judgments of me based on unbiblical criteria? Sure. Like, yeah, she's probably mean or she's probably a ditz or whatever. But in the bigger scheme of things, I have no experiential expertise on racism, classism, or culturalism. But I do have God's word, and he is so crystal clear on this. And so it's a privilege that I get to teach you today, and I'm thankful that the Lord uses the unqualified and the foolish and the weak things of this world, because I am one of them. The reality and the presence of partiality and favoritism in this world and within professed believers in Jesus Christ, y'all, it has wrecked me. And often I choose to live in the land of just ignorant bliss, that I just want to assume that everybody has the same experiences that I have. But thinking about the reality of this has wrecked me. And honestly, you guys, I hope it wrecks you too. So much so that we leave here different than we came in. My sisters and our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we have ground to take in this area, all of us. This is not just a message for privileged white girls. It is for every single person who's made a value judgment of anybody else based on anything less than God's standard. And that is all of us. Because we have a problem. We don't see people like God sees them. We don't. We don't see people like God sees them, and therefore, we don't treat them like God treats them and love them like he loves them. So let's talk about, you guys, how the world assigns value to people. You guys, in Iceland, they've been known for saying that they've eliminated Down syndrome. But actually, they've just eliminated people with Down syndrome. Nearly 100% of babies diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted in Iceland. And they say as a society that it is a mercy to society that they do this. Because they say that those babies are so less valuable because their chromosomes are different. Or let's talk about India. Okay, in India, most people follow the religious practice of Hinduism. And in Hinduism, they believe in reincarnation. So who you are in this life is largely because of what you did in your past life. Well, you guys, right now, there are 200 million people in their lowest class system that are considered untouchables. That if you associate with them, you are defiled. That they are told their entire lives that they have little to no value. And there's nothing that they can do about it. But we don't have to go to Iceland or India to talk about really heinous ways of assigning value. Let's talk about how in 1920, Dallas was the most racist city in America. That one out of every three white males was part of the Ku Klux Klan. How they believed that if someone had non-white skin, that they were so less valuable, they should be killed. Y'all, that is sickening. And that racism and that prejudice, it's so systemic that now 100 years later, there is the Black Lives Matter movement. Because guess what they're saying? We matter. We matter as much as you do. Our value is no different. You guys, let's talk about North Dallas. Let's talk about the ways that we value materialism and money, and how, hey, it's all about like sales and networking, and like you are valuable to me. I'm gonna build a relationship with you if there is monetary value to me. Or hey, if you have power and wealth and beauty and esteem, like you are considered more valuable than if you don't. You guys, we have a problem. Racism, classism, culturalism, partiality, it's everywhere, every day. It seems like everyone in this world today. And we are fed the lie all the time that our value comes from how we look and how we act and how we perform, what we have to offer. And I wish I could say, hey, this is only happening out in the world, and this is not happening in the walls of believers in Jesus Christ. But you guys, as James wrote this to those believers back then, and I'm repeating today, partiality, making value judgments of people based on unbiblical criteria, is happening within the walls of the church. Maybe not in the extreme devastating ways that I just talked about, but women are feeling like they are less valuable, like they are excluded because of the color of their skin or their culture or their life choices. And so over the last couple of weeks, you guys, I just started asking women, friends that I know love Jesus so much, but who don't look like me and who aren't in the same like married, stay-at-home mom, Bible study teacher circle. And I just started asking, hey, do you experience partiality? Is that a reality for you? And guess what the overwhelming answer was? Yes. And as James charged us to be slow to speak and quick to listen, I was like, I'm going to listen. I'm going to resist every urge to defend. Because I heard, yes, I feel like because of the color of my skin, I don't belong here. I feel like lesser of the body. I feel excluded. Yes, I feel like women judge me as a lesser mom because I am a working mom. Yes, I feel judged and excluded because I'm a single mom, because I'm not married, because I am divorced, because I am a member of the deaf community. There is not access to all the Bible studies and Sunday services, and it makes me feel less valuable. I feel like I am judged and excluded because I'm not in a community group. I feel judged because I don't homeschool my kids. I could go on, and yes, are some of those just feelings that the enemy feeds us, those lies to make us feel less valuable? Sure. But I think the bigger picture it creates, you guys, that even as believers, we have a problem. We don't see people like God sees them, and it causes division. But I don't think that all of us in this room who love Jesus show partiality out of hate, but out of indifference. Someone wise once said that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. So I want all of us to think about how we would answer these questions. Like, I want you to really think about it, because this message is for all of us. When you see someone, what is the first thing that you notice about them? Is it their outward appearance? Is it the clothes they wear? Is it the bag they're carrying? Is it their skin color? Is it their weight? Maybe you wonder right away about their career or their success, or maybe it's their sexuality or their political party. What is it that you notice about them? And on what basis do you tend to judge people? What makes you want to move towards some people and away from other people? See, but showing partiality, I think, among believers, we want to be like, oh, it's, you know, it's kind of like the secret sin, or it's really not that big of a deal. And you guys, partiality isn't a little deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. And if it's a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to us. But praise God, there's also a very big solution. I want us to read in chapter 2 of James, verses 8 through 10. It says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Partiality, favoritism is a sin. Anytime that our thoughts and actions don't honor the Lord, they are an offense to Him. And I think sometimes we're like, yeah, I mean, some things are more offensive to God than others, you guys. And that's just not true, because if you read in verse 10 here, it says, for whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at just one part of it, regardless of what that one part is, we are guilty of breaking all of it. Partiality is a big deal. We have this problem. We don't see people like God sees them. And you guys, that should wreck us. Let it. Because I've experienced in my own life that until I allow something to wreck me, it's not until that point that God can work in me and through me. But there is this big solution I told you. And it is simple. It's one we've talked about. The solution to showing partiality is that we would look up in worship. You guys, if we want to see like God sees, we have to talk about how God sees. If we want to see people like God sees people, let's learn how God sees people. Because from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, there is a very clear truth about how God shows partiality. You guys know this, but in Genesis 1:27, from the beginning of time, It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And you guys are like, yes, I get that. But hold that in the tip top of your brain. We were made in God's image, male and female. So we were made different and we were made equal and we were all made in God's image. Well, and then I want to talk about the Tower of Babel. Do you guys kind of vaguely remember the Tower of Babel? Maybe from Sunday school? Well, you know, it was mankind's attempt to build this big tower up to the heavens to make a name for themselves. Was he God in his sovereignty? He wasn't going to have that. And so at that point, he scattered all of mankind across the world and he confused their languages. So at that time, you guys, God created different cultures and different languages. And if God created it, it's beautiful. And then at Pentecost, which is when God poured out the Holy Spirit after the resurrection, there was like the reverse of the Tower of Babel. And for the first time, men of all different tongues and cultures were able to understand each other, to signify that we are one in Christ. There is no longer rich or poor or Jew or Greek or male or female or slave or free. We are one in Christ. Christ unifies us. But then you guys, I want to talk about how God actually designed the earth. And I am such a science nerd, so I love this stuff. But you guys, let's talk about how the earth is 93 million miles away from the sun. Perfectly placed, that we are far enough away from the sun that it doesn't burn it up, but we're close enough to the sun that the heat sustains life here. And how the Lord put the earth at a 23.5 degree angle tilt on its axis. So what that means is as the earth rotates around its axis, certain parts of the earth experience more of the sun's ultraviolet radiation. Hang in there with me. Okay, because this matters. Because you guys, when God made mankind on the most molecular level, he knew that some of us were going to experience more ultraviolet radiation than others. And so he put this thing in a molecular level inside of us called melanin. Okay, and melanin is what helps protect our skin cells from the sun's ultraviolet radiation. So depending on where you are geographically and how much of the sun's ultraviolet radiation you're exposed to, okay, melanin is going to express more of itself, hence different skin colors. So from the very molecular level of our bodies, God made different skin colors. And if God made it, it's beautiful. You guys, let's talk about Jesus. Jesus was a Jewish man in Jerusalem, in the Middle East. So you guys, Jesus was not, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man. He didn't look like Patrick Swayze, okay? He was a brown man. And then let's talk about how Jesus, how he treated people, that were different than him. Do you remember the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well? Hey, that story, Jesus is at the well and there's a Samaritan woman and he's like, hey, will you pour me some water? She's like, whoa, you're a Jewish man and I'm a Samaritan woman. Like, we're of different cultures and class. Like, you shouldn't be talking to me. What are you doing? And Jesus moves towards her and he's like, hey, I know you. Like, I know that you're actually not just a woman of one husband, but you've actually been with lots of men. You guys, her morality was different than Jesus. Her culture was different than Jesus. Her class was different than Jesus. But Jesus moved towards her. And he offered her the same living water that he offered everybody else. He saw her as valuable. Let's talk about Zacchaeus. Remember the wee little man? Yeah. Well, he was this wealthy tax collector, and he climbed up in a tree to see Jesus. Okay? And Jesus, over all the crowd, he sees Zacchaeus and he calls him out and he's like, Zacchaeus, let's go have dinner at your house. And everybody is like, what? Like Jesus, this holy man, he's having dinner with sinners? Like, doesn't Jesus see the differences that divide the rest of us? No. And I could go on and on. You guys, just read the gospel accounts of Jesus. Any difference we as the world see and we allow to divide us, Jesus saw as value and beauty and equality. But I can't stop there, you guys, because God gave us the most perfect picture of no partiality. And that is the cross. It has been said that the cross is the great equalizer, that every one of us are equal at the foot of the cross. And you guys are like, yes, I know that, but do you? Every single one of us deserves judgment. We all deserve eternity spent apart from the holy God. And yet God, in his mercy, does not give us what we deserve. He does not show partiality. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. That's like, hey, I was actually speeding and a police pulls me over and I absolutely should get a ticket because I am guilty. But he doesn't give me the ticket. That's mercy. That's what Christ does for us. That's why, you guys, James, he says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Christ's mercy triumphs over his judgment of us that we deserve. And therefore, the mercy we show to others should triumph over our judgment of them. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The kindness and the compassion of God, that is the very essence of the gospel. The gospel is a picture of no partiality, no favoritism, no racism, no culturalism, no classism. Like, that is the God that we look up and worship at. In the book of Acts, it is written in chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, this is Peter after he had seen the risen Christ. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. God does not show favoritism, and neither should we, you guys. And guess what we have to look forward to one day? I told you it was the thread from the beginning of the Bible to the end. In Revelation 7:9, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Completely different and completely unified in Christ. We will worship him together. And so what is the application? You guys, how do we walk this out in faith? Well, James also answered that for us in chapter 2, verse 8. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. And so the how is so simple, you guys. The how is love. See, the antithesis to partiality is love. After I became a believer through Young Life, I became a Young Life leader and a teacher. And it was then that I just started falling head over heels in love with people that were different than me. And I'm not just talking about different in the way we looked, but like different in every single aspect. And the Lord began to change how I saw people. Like everyone just became someone who desperately needed Jesus just like I did. And I was talking with some of my dearest friends, and we were specifically talking about race and diversity. And I shared with them, like, yeah, I just pray, God, help me to not see color. Help me to not see differences. And my precious African-American friend said, sweetie, Randy, I think that you're wrong in that prayer. See, God made every color of people. He doesn't want you to not see the differences. He wants you to see the differences as beautiful. And so that day I started praying, God, help me to see your image in everybody. And that is my prayer every morning. God, help me to see your image in everybody. No partiality isn't that we wouldn't see differences. It means that we wouldn't assign value because of them. That in love, we would see people like God does. You guys, remembering that biblical love is a choice. It is not a feeling. It is a decision of the will. Love is righteousness in action. So as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to choose to not show partiality. But the great news is, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have the secret superpower to actually live this out. Okay? If he is in you, we can do this. We can not show partiality. We can train our eyes to turn everything inside out, that we would see someone's heart before we would see anything on the outside. In the book, Everybody Always by Bob Goff, so good, read it. He wrote, we start to see that our time here isn't meant to be spent forming opinions about the people we meet. It is an opportunity to draw the kind of circles around them that grace has drawn around us until everybody is on the inside. Ladies, as sisters in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we need to wage war against the enemy in our lives that want us to show partiality and use differences to divide us. We have to do better, y'all. If we can't get this right, if we can't love as unity in Jesus Christ inside these walls, how are we ever going to push back the darkness in the world? We have to do better. So first, we need to take a look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what are the things that cause us to build barriers instead of bridges with other people? What are the things that cause us to build barriers instead of bridges with other people? Let's be very honest with ourselves and with the Lord. Is it someone's morality or sin struggle or sexuality that causes you to build a barrier with them? Is it somebody's political viewpoints? You're like, we're just so different. So we build barriers. Maybe it's somebody's language or culture or skin color. Perhaps you're like, it's that I just don't understand them. And so I'm not going to move towards them. Maybe it's a decision on how to educate your children or whether to work outside the homes with littles. It's your passions. You get so passionate about something that then you build barriers with other people who don't share those same passions outside of Christ. Maybe we build barriers because we're so worried about what other people think about us. Maybe you're not even thinking about them because you're so worried about what they're thinking about you. Or maybe, though, it's the flip. Maybe you see somebody's wealth or beauty or popularity, and that actually makes you want to move towards them. and you believe the lie, like if they see me as valuable, then I'm gonna be more valuable. Let's confess all the partiality and all the judgments, all those icky places in our hearts. Let's just confess it to the Lord. And then you guys, we pray. We pray and ask God to help us see like he sees. It's 2020, so it's corny, but God, give me 2020 vision. Help me to see your image in everyone. Because if we see them like he sees them, when we can love them like he loves them. And then you guys, move towards people that are different than you in love. The enemy wants to divide us. We must resist the temptation to allow him to. As sisters in Christ, y'all, we should be the biggest champions of each other, the biggest cheerleaders of each other. In our differences, we should be like, yes, go. Be who God made you. For the glory of God, let's champion each other. Sin divides us, you guys, but Christ unifies us. I can almost guarantee that when we get to know somebody, we're going to see God's image in them. Remember the very first week of James, I told you all the word that the Lord gave me was undivided. And I said that James is calling us to this undivided devotion to God. And here in chapter 2, you guys, he's calling us as believers to live undivided. Let's do that for God's glory. Let me pray. Oh, Lord. God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for how you see us and how you made us valuable, Lord. Thank you that you show mercy to us. Lord, help us. We beg you, help us to see people like you see them, Lord. Help us to show mercy over judgment. Lord, help us, God, as believers in you, God, to love each other fiercely, to celebrate each other. Lord, may we be a picture of your love. It's in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.